Hi friends, welcome to Tabi Tabi Podcast. I am your host Ethan, and this podcast is dedicated to presenting Philippine traditional stories, from monsters to tales, gods and goddesses, hunting locations and more. There's something for everyone. Hi there, welcome back. Hello to the kalags who have stuck around since the beginning, and hi to the new listeners. Hopefully everyone is doing alright, and if you're not, take a step back, take a breather, and collect your thoughts. You can do it. Happy second anniversary, everyone. Can't believe it's been 2 years since the podcast began. I am so thankful for you all supporting the podcast until today. A huge thank you to my patrons for the financial aid. So a huge thanks to the kalags under the multi-tier. Shout out to Stephanie E., Terence C., Alyssa, Jen G., and Christina N. For the kalags under the Tao tier, a huge thanks and shout out to Veronica R., Michelle G., Jordan, Lee, Star, Mona, her daughter Luna, Carl, Bonkers, and to our latest Tao patron, Viron A. Thank you so very much for your support, and I hope you like the benefits of your current tier. And hey, if you dear listeners want to become a Multo or Tao patron to support the podcast, then head over to patreon.com/tabitabipod, and for the amount of $2 or $5, you can have early access, bonus episodes, exclusive updates, and more. So join us and check the tier that fits your interest. Also, if you don't know, I just released a small passion project, an ebook that contains 7 deities, 4 haunted places, 25 Philippine mythological creatures, and 32 illustrations that I talked about in the podcast. So if you're interested to purchase it, the information is posted on the podcast's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I could only hope that you enjoy reading it, and, you know, thank you so much for the support. There are a lot of creatures in Bicolor that I still want to share. Unfortunately, there's only little to no information about them. Thankfully, I have a book by Dr. Edin K. Nasayaw titled Bicol Beliefs and Folkways, A Showcase of Tradition. This was gifted to me by Aswang Project, I think a year ago or probably this year. So it has been extremely helpful. And speaking of Aswang Project, did you know that they are our sponsor for today? The Aswang Project was created in 2006 by Jordan Clark as an educational resource that shares the rich and diverse cultures of the Philippines. When I started the podcast, the Aswang Project was my main source of information about creatures because other than the fact that they have articles ready, they provided the sources where they got the information from. So, it paved way for me to do research on my own and not rely on their site alone. They also sometimes sell books about Philippine creatures and more. And recently, they finished their new book titled Ferdinand Blumentritt's Diccionario Mitologico. So, if you want to check out their book or maybe just read more Philippine folklore and stories, please visit their website at www.aswangproject.com. Once again, thank you so much, Aswang Project, for sponsoring today's episode. So with all that said, settle in, my dear listeners, and let's begin. Being that this is the final episode of Season 5, I prepared 10 Bicol creatures to share with you today. Let's start with the Burincantada, which was the most memorable for me. The Burincantada is portrayed in the book as a lovely woman who protects a treasure trove of untold wealth and treasures. She has stunning physical beauty as well as a wonderful voice. Now imagine you're going through the woods and you hear this ethereal voice. You'd be curious to know who was singing, right? Then you'd probably try to figure out who it was. When this occurs and the person approaches the Burincantada's lair, the Burincantada believes that this person intends to steal its riches. It will then become so enraged and jealous that it will quickly suck the blood from anyone who dares to approach it or its treasure. So the reason this one stood out was because I'd heard this word before. I'd heard this from folks in my hometown, but I had no idea what it meant. We've always thought that the word Burincantada was just an equivalent to a cuss word, actually. And when I asked older folks about it, they can't give me a proper answer. So being able to finally figure out what this is very nice. Second, we have the Korokoro. I've already heard my parents or grandparents say this word before. and it appears to be a nocturnal bird whose muffled cry may indicate the arrival of aswang on a baby or a sick person, the impending death of someone, or the approaching storm. This bird makes me think of the tik-tik or kik-ik because it's a bit similar because they're both birds. Now, speaking of impending doom, this third creature is a bit similar to the koro-koro. It's the didit, a type of earth cricket, which again, I already knew because my grandparents used to say it all the time, or at least say the word didit all the time. What I don't know about the didit is that the didit's nocturnal chirp is said to indicate the death of a relative. Is it true? Probably not. Or at least, I hope it's not. Growing up, my mother would refer to me as the fourth creature on the list if I didn't clean myself. I'm throwing myself under the bus there because I was an untidy kid. My mom would liken me to a kurakpao. I believed at first that she was just making up terms, but apparently she wasn't, because it is part of the Bicol lore. The kurakpao is an unkempt creature with thick, tangled hair and large, piercing eyes, which now that I'm reading it, perfectly describes me. The kurakpao is described as an enraged beast carrying a piece of wood shaped like a giant thick bat and ready to bash the head of anyone it encounters. So, if you're ever in the woods, be careful out there, friends. The tawong lipod is the fifth creature on the list. This creature has been ingrained in our family since we were children. We shouldn't point or throw rocks at random places or trees because we might hit a tawong lipod. Humans are unable to see this creature. The tawong lipod are suspected of causing disease or death once you offended them or harmed them. So they're invisible, right? Meaning the likelihood of you harming them is quite high. That's why, in my opinion, it's still best to say or announce your presence by saying tabi-tabi po. That's what I always do at least. Now, they are said according to the book to have originated from people who have not been blessed. A tawong lipod victim should donate 2 chickens or sacrifice 2 chickens, 1 black and 1 white, to appease the entity and would be forgiven for their rudeness. The sixth creature is the kudo-kudo. This creature is named because of the sound it creates while walking. This is an unseen creature accompanied by mosquitoes. It eats salt and always frequents the kitchen. It is always dirty and likes to stay in dark, damp, and unused spaces below the floorboards of the house. The kudo-kudo is also described in another account as a little spherical or egg-shaped creature with very small eyes. Its limbs are the size of a needle. It has a brown jar-like body and prefers to remain inside damp jars. It can be found in grasslands as well as deep in the forest. When the kudo-kudo is injured, it has the ability to harm people. It causes one to shiver with a high fever, and the shivering is often mistaken for malaria. How would we be able to harm a kudo-kudo? I don't know, but my theory is maybe we could accidentally step on it because, you know, since we can't see them, the chances of them getting stepped on is quite high. But hey, that's just my theory. The ogro is the next creature on the list. This creature explains why I am not allowed to sleep with my pillows on the same level as my parents or any adult in the household as a child. This creature is described as an unpleasant, dreaded monster that feeds on humans. This large beast frequently devours greedy and cruel people. The ogro is also characterized as a black, horrifying creature that watches youngsters sleep and is ready to beat their skulls with its large wooden hammer if their heads come up to their parents' pillows. Why? It is believed that when children sleep with their heads on the same level as their parents, they grow rude. The eighth creature is the maman, a greedy monster with a huge mouth and an even bigger stomach. It is eager to devour almost anything it can get its hands on. It is a massive, awful beast capable of devouring a child, a man, a pig, a carabao, or even a home. And finally, there's the Bugsok. The Bugsok is a black fairy who walks with its feet up and its hands down. It buries things such as stones, sticks, and fish bones into people's body, causing severe illness. The herbolario or herbolario can heal such an ailment and extract a stone, fish bone, or whatever from a body where the Bugsok have hidden them. It thrives in dense forests, teeming with large ants and spiders. If it is hurt by youngsters playing or children playing, it causes them to bulge from the knees down. This will cause them great discomfort, and the condition will force the children to walk by raising their legs and using their hands. The victims eventually become bugsok or turned upside down. And that concludes the final episode of Season 5. I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something new. Happy 2nd anniversary, everyone, and thank you all so very much for the support. I cannot thank you enough. I honestly actually have something planned for the anniversary, but stuff happened and I wasn't able to make it, so yeah. Don't worry though, we'll have next time for sure. I'll do better. So yeah, thank you so much. And yeah, this is the final episode of Season 5. I will see you guys on Season 6. I am going to take my usual hiatus and see you at the end of November. So for patrons, don't worry, monthly updates are still gonna be posted and you'll still have your content. I'm so sorry that I don't have one for this month. I'm gonna make it up to you soon. I was just really stressed out. And who knows, I might even sneak in some content for the public. And if you're interested in becoming a patron, then head over to patreon.com/tabitabipod to get early access, exclusive updates, bonus episodes, and more. I've already produced 8 exclusive content that you'll find only on Patreon. The latest is about Nagimat or Anting Anting, and you can listen to it for $5 under the Tao tier. Once again, a huge thanks to Aswang Project for sponsoring today's episode. Thanks to my patrons and to you, my dear listeners. Thank you so, so much. Please stay safe. So thanks for listening to Tabi Tabi Podcast with me, Ethan. Join me next season when I discuss Visayan mythological content. Bye! Tabi Tabi Podcast is written, researched, produced, and hosted by me, Ethan, with music by Kevin MacLeod titled The Path of the Goblin King. Sources for this podcast can be found on Tabi Tabi Podcast's Facebook page. For more updates, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Tabi Tabi Pod. See you guys next time for a brand new episode. Bye!